Welcome to the Whiskey Congress. Honest, open talk dedicated to speaking the truth to those who are open to hearing it. Black, white, right, left. Most importantly, honest, bold, and fueled by good whiskey. In Whiskey Veritas, we are Whiskey Congress. Join the evolution.
Welcome once again to Whiskey Congress. We got a little bit of a holiday episode for you to discuss some holiday issues, and we're also reviewing a new whiskey. It's an Islay Scotch. We've been corrected, and we're going to say it right.
Yeah.
I forget who corrected. Who corrected us?
It was
Twitter.
No, it was on YouTube.
Oh, YouTube? Okay.
It was one of our subscribers on YouTube that corrected us.
So. Well, we apologize. You are correct. It is Islay. You want to talk about it, or?
Yeah, I mean, so it's Boonahabin Scotch, and it's Boonahabin 12. I like it.
I like it a lot.
off the jump, it's very smooth. There's not a ton of bite on the back end, but I think it comes in at in the mid 90s in terms of proof. And from a flavor standpoint,
wow. I thought I would have never. It's 46.3, so 92, 93 proof.
Yeah, 90. which is you know, a good solid strength. It's not too light in the pants, so to speak.
Right.
From a flavor standpoint, you're getting vanilla. You're getting like kind of a fruity flavor.
Yeah, some citrus in there. With a tiny bit of smoke, not really much.
No, not a lot of smoke. Just a little bit, just enough to say that there is. But I think whatever the fruity aroma that I'm getting or the fruity taste, it's not as much citrus as maybe more of a berry, if that vibes at all. And it's super creamy as well.
Yeah.
I like it a lot. I gave it a 92.
I gave it a 91.
Okay. So we're right on the same page.
And I thought about kicking it up a point, actually, because the more I'm drinking it, the more I'm liking it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, really good stuff. I don't remember the price point. I bought this back when I was doing the New Jersey thing. When I was doing my...
I think if I'm not mistaken, I think it's like around $60.
Again, I don't want to say yes or no, but it was certainly not more than that. It might have been as low as 40, 45. I don't remember.
But I like it, and it's funny because it's enunciated Boonahabin, but it's, I mean, if you look
like
at...
Boonahabin.
If you look at the spelling of it, though... It's Boonahabin.
Which, good call on your part, because us just saying the name, people probably couldn't hear that
right.
And know to go out and buy that bottle.
Right, if that's what you're, if that's
like
what you're looking
Boonahabin.
For.
Boonahabin.
Right. Boonahabin.
All right.
Or, of course, if we're saying that wrong, then somebody, correct us.
It's on the box. That's wrong. I'm not being snobby.
I got you.
All right, so a good whiskey. Nice, not really particularly holiday related, but whatever. You know, I don't want to be the Grinch that ruins political Christmas, but there's a couple things going on, and I just want to talk about them because they're driving me nuts. First one is a local Cleveland radio station banned the Christmas song "Baby It's Cold Outside."
Yes.
I think it was 102.1, I believe.
Yes.
I really don't listen to them. I don't know much about them. But they banned it because it was...
They received complaints.
Did they?
Yeah, they received complaints that the song was...
Promoting
date rape, essentially. Right?
All right.
I mean, and I love the song. I'm not sure if Dean Martin did it originally, but I know he does a version of it that I really like. And maybe that's just my, Youngstown roots coming through. But, if we're at a point now where we're being, people have always been offended by certain music, certain types of music. There are certain people who are just offended by all forms of rap, no matter what. There are certain people who are offended by death metal. Which most of us should be. But,
it is called death metal. But
right. But... You know, this is a situation where, if you don't know the song, I will do you a favor and not sing it.
Right. And I would play it, but then we'll get kicked off YouTube.
Yes, that's the tough part about talking music and not being able to play it. But, I mean, essentially the song is, hey, it's cold outside. Why don't you stay? I'll pour you a drink and warm up the good old fashioned way.
Right.
And so, you know, are we at a point now where, you know, asking a woman to stay for consensual sex is that's now a problem? Right? Like, are we not allowed to do that? Like, what? Not, I mean, like, oh, well, he asked her to stay and he was going to pour her a drink. Like, what's next? You know, I mean, and I just, listen, I don't want to make light of sexual harassment and rape. And I think I've made my point pretty clear on that. As a guy, keep your dick in your pants. If a woman says no.
Until it's asked to come out.
Right. You know, I mean, if she says no, then she says no. Don't put anything in her drink. You know, don't force yourself. Don't hit women, kick. Just, you know,
right.
Stay away from that type of acting. But if, you know, if a woman willingly comes over to your house and you don't want her to leave, and maybe she's not sure if she wants to, or maybe she is, and you say, hey, would really like it if you stayed. Is there anything I can do to get you to stay so we can see where this goes? Right?
Right.
Would you like a drink? Would you like me to turn the TV on, turn it off, light a fire? Is any of this working for you? Right? Like, so we're at a point where now we're not supposed to do that? That's insane. Come on.
That is absolutely insane. I mean, I'm... If we're getting to the point where literally a guy trying to show his desire towards a woman is considered inappropriate on a dating level, then we're going to stop being a species at some point. Right. Certainly, well, we'll stop being a country, because there are actual countries that actually have, like, real serious problems with, you know, rape culture. Not saying we don't have plenty of problems here, but if this is part of the problem in your mind, we're fucked.
Well,
figuratively, not literally.
I can't, you know, and again, you don't want to make light of
what
sexual harassment is and rape and a lot of the things that women and some men go through to a degree. But we this is one where you wish the radio station kind of pushed back and said, well, you know, I'm sorry that you're having trouble with this, but I mean, you know, get over it.
Right. Or if
because you're not going to appease everyone, right? Like, how many people did you just piss off by pulling this song? Right? Like, I mean, and oh, by the way, you're a radio station. You guys are having you guys have plenty to worry about right now in terms of just being
staying
able to function.
Business, yeah.
Right. So it just, that's a bad call on the radio station. I think that you figure out a way to, you know, assuage those that are really upset about it. And I have to wonder.
Just change, if you don't like the song, change the fucking channel. And if you think the song is offensive, good luck finding a radio station that doesn't play things that are more offensive.
Right. I mean, if you're offended by this song, like, how do you function in life?
That's an excellent question.
When
Jimmy Buffett's "Why Don't We Get Drunk and Screw" comes on, do you just go into convulsions?
What about every country song? Like, every party country song is about some guy trying to get some girl in a bikini in his pickup truck out on the beach with, you know, Budweiser and America and Guns and Eagles. Like,
and plenty of rap songs are
right.
Actually,
I mean, the people. But raps.
But they're not going to listen to that.
Right. Like, the people who are listening, who are offended by Baby Outside, are not listening to rap music. I'm
safe
just,
bet.
I'm willing to bet on that.
Like, switching over to "Party Up" by DMX because I'm offended by "Baby's Cold Outside."
Right.
Well, there's nothing coming up. "Party Up's actually it's mine.
Well, there's a couple lines in the unedited version.
Okay.
Where
damn it,
he gets pretty aggressive, but it's not. It ain't like he's not talking about women. I mean, he's actually there's a line where I'm pretty sure he says.
You gotta come.
Oh man, I think he says, "I'm gonna put my dick in your mouth," and okay. Or maybe he says, "I'm gonna put my dick in your ear so you can hear me coming," or something like that.
Okay.
Which
you
that
know
line.
What? That is that's in. Oh shit, that isn't that song. Is
I
it?
Think or something along those lines. I don't know. I actually, the line where he says, "I'm gonna put my dick in your ear so you can hear me coming," is from "It's Dark and Hell Is Hot," which for whatever reason to me is one of the funniest things anyone has ever said in rap. Like,
is actually pretty funny.
I think it's fucking hilarious. Like, here, hey. You hear that? You hear that? Can you hear me coming? I don't know.
There's double entendre. I like it.
I know how we got it.
I don't either. We went from "Baby It's Cold Outside" to DMX, "Put Your Dick in Here." But you know what? I'm glad we did. Because let's face it, if you're offended by "Baby It's Cold Outside," you ain't listening to our show either.
No. No.
So, we've
offended some people, though.
We
I mean, you got a scathing
Which one?
There was a girl that I think you knew prior who listened to the show.
And, oh, geez, yeah.
Yeah. We don't need to get into
details. Your podcast is offensive. Okay.
Right.
And I believe, do you recall my response to that?
Yep.
My response for those who are listening is, I give zero fucks if I've offended you, which I believe was our final conversation, but whatever. But yeah, again, I don't want to overreact. I don't want to say this one station in one town made this decision and this really represents where we are as a society. I don't want to go that far yet. It just, it bothers me.
I think it does, it irks me too. Because, and I'm actually really concerned about the people that felt so strongly about this that they reached out to the radio station.
Right. To make an effort to protest that song.
Like, what Yikes. Is going on in your, like, what is your, like, feel like your life must be constant just writing complaints to people right. about everything around you. Right?
And, you know, the funny thing is, we are kind of contributing to outrage culture. So we are now outraged at someone else's outrage. So,
yeah, I guess, but I mean, it's, I just, I guess.
I'll stand up, don't get me wrong, I'm just
right.
saying.
Right, I mean, yeah, sure, I guess I want to kind of meet that person who calls up the radio station and says, this song is offensive, I want you to, like, talk me through it, right? Like, explain to me
if
how
you are offended by that song, write to us at Jim or Steve at WhiskeyCongress.com. Right. We will have you on our show, you can speak your mind, I'll even promise to go into Nice Guy Jim mode and not call you a fucking... Hey. See? There we go.
There you go. Look, you're already
done. I didn't do it. I didn't hold on. And so that kind of outrage culture bothers me. Flip side, now is the time of year when Fox News and the other, the Christian right talks about the war on Christmas, which doesn't fucking exist. It's a totally made up thing. And frankly, the left, the Daily Show type thing will fire back and make fun of it. But the idea that you can't say Merry Christmas Listen, anymore.
Christmas yeah, you is can. Christmas is such a moneymaker. I mean, Christmas itself is a $1 billion industry, right?
Oh, if not more.
So, the idea that there's...
In fact, way more when you do the math.
Right. I mean, I'm just saying, like, it's a multi-billion dollar industry. The idea that we think that there's a war against Christmas... Listen, are there people out there, are there factions of, the far left that are, completely anti-religion and atheist and whatever?
Sure.
Right? Yeah, and those particular, are there people on the far left who get completely upset by anything religion, like if they see something too overly religious as it relates to government or anything like that, then they lose their shit.
Right.
You do have those
people. Those people do exist.
Right. So maybe those people are waging a war, but it's such a small... I mean, it's literally like a four-year-old throwing a tantrum at a, amongst...
At a football stadium.
Exactly. Right? Like, all right, yeah, that's happening, but does it really detract from... Right. Does it detract from what's actually happening in this particular situation? I think the answer is no. Right.
I'm comfortable with that. And, I mean, every year there's outrage because Starbucks releases their Christmas... coffee cup, and if it's not Christmassy enough, people who are, religion first, Christians, will say, Starbucks is caving in, Starbucks is whatever. And then, to be honest, if Starbucks put Merry Christmas in bold type letters on every one of their coffee cups, I don't believe a single person would be offended. I should say this. There will be a very small number of people who are very highly offended. Nothing would change from that. It wouldn't hurt Starbucks' bottom line. And anyone who actually felt hurt by that, again, let's go back to it, baby, it's cold outside. It's not hurting anyone, ever. Furthermore, the claim that you can't say Merry Christmas in the office anymore. Yes, you can. I've done it for years.
I don't
years.
Know. I haven't. Like, listen, I work in a government agency now.
Right.
People, I mean, they're in the area that I work in, they're decorating heavily with Christmas trees and...
Does it actually say Christmas?
I don't know. I don't know, man. I I don't give a shit. Right? Like, there's some houses and, like, some fake snow and trees and all that shit. Like, the war on Christmas, again, like you said, it's a way for the conservative news media to, you know, play the victim card.
Right. Absolutely. Right? Absolutely.
And what they do is they take a small percentage of people who are overreacting, right, or having some sort of a reaction, and then they amplify it.
They try to make it sound like it's the norm.
This is the norm. This is what's going on everywhere. Now listen, the you know, your liberal media, which is a larger majority of your mainstream media, they do the same thing, right? I mean, they do
not on this topic.
No, not on this topic. But I mean, they take issues and go hyperbolic and make them, you know, they amplify them to a point where you're like, oh, this must be going on everywhere. Or, no, it's only going on in these select few places. In these particular instances, it is not the norm, right? Like, there's a, whether it's politics or sports or with any of this stuff, the loudest voices, right, get the most attention. But the reality is, those loud voices only represent a very, very small minority of people on either side, left or right, right? And then you have a vast middle, right, who really don't care about any of this stuff.
Right.
Right. Now, according to social media, maybe they do, right? But in their day-to-day lives, right, like, they don't give a shit, right? Like, they're getting up. People are getting up, trying to go to work, trying to make a dollar, trying to figure out how they're going to feed their kids and take care of their families. All this stuff kind of exists. And it's been amplified because of social media, right? Like, social media creates this alternate reality where people feel passionate about things, but yet once they step away from their computer, right, or they step away from their phone or whatever, however they interact on social media, it basically goes away.
I mean, a perfect example of that, not too long ago, a friend of mine on Facebook reposted a thing that said, after 8 years of not having a nativity scene in the White House, the Trumps bring under the Obama administration, the Trumps have brought it back. And I just went to Snopes and typed in Obama nativity scene, and that statement was completely inaccurate. There was a nativity scene in the White House every year. And
you didn't even have to go to Snopes. If you just type in Obama nativity scene, White House,
pictures. I love going to Snopes because Snopes, I've never been proven wrong by Snopes. As far as I know, they put accuracy as issue one, because I think that's their gig and they know that one fuck up could make them go away. But
now,
anyway,
most conservatives don't like Snopes.
Oh yeah, they don't like it because it exposes their dumb shit.
Well, just yeah, it's controlled by the left-wing liberal media and it's biased and everything is biased. If you say anything that's against Trump, then obviously you have a liberal bias, and you know, then you have to fight that battle if you choose. So
again, I've never seen Snopes proven wrong. You know, the other organization that I've never seen proven wrong is TMZ, for the same reason. You might think they're scumbags, and they kind of are.
TMZ, my first thought of TMZ is assholes. Yeah, my second thought of TMZ is fucking right every time. Right?
Yeah. They can't afford to be wrong.
Right, they can't. Right? And the company was, I mean, you know, obviously they were founded by a lawyer. Right, and I think, you know, and I don't know.
Jewish lawyer, so you can't say Merry Christmas to him or he'll be offended.
Okay.
It's a joke. Maybe not a good one.
They dig in, and I mean, a lot of times, like, whether it's Tiger Woods or, you know.
Jones, I mean, they found footage of Zay Jones having a complete psychotic meltdown in L.A. in the off season, and it was freaky stuff, but they put the video out there, they broke the story, and I'm glad to see, you know, Zay got his things back together, and he's having as good a season as you expect.
Zay Jones is a receiver for the Buffalo Bills. Yeah, by the way, for those who aren't giant Buffalo Bills fans. But, I mean, so I guess I don't like the idea. I don't like the idea of someone, you know, searching and finding and paying money. Like, hey, if you've got dirt on someone, we'll give you X amount of dollars, depending on how good it is. And, like, that part of it I don't like. I don't like to see it. And I don't care who it is, right? Like, I don't care if it's someone that I don't like, or if it's, you know, like, if they came out with a video of Tom Brady, like,
kicking a puppy
or something like that. Like, on the one hand,
which I believe he did.
I don't like the idea of people like just going like constantly, because there are certain people like once they become celebrities, there are people out there who their mission in life becomes, I'm going to find dirt on you.
Right.
Right. Like, so everywhere you go, they'll go to the hotel and say, hey, do you have, what do you have? You know, footage, right. You know what I mean? Like they go to some security guard or whatever. And like they like that, they, there are people who make a living doing this. Right. And to me, that just feels dirty.
Yeah.
Right. But at the same time, I think if you're an athlete or any sort of celebrity, then at some point in time, you have to recognize how things have changed, how the culture has changed. Understand that there's a million cameras out there. I mean, there's a billion cameras out there. Right, because right. Almost every person is walking around with a camera on their phone. If you're at a hotel, if you're at a casino, if you're at a bar, a nightclub, whatever, there's however many cameras in there that each of those have set up. There's traffic cameras. You know, there's just random cameras.
Yeah.
You know, like sometimes I walk around, I'm like, huh, there's a camera there. Why? You know, I mean, and it's right. For protection in the city and the police and everything else, but there's cameras everywhere. There's an eye in the sky. 1984. Someone is always watching. So, probably not a good idea to get blacked out drunk and start beating people up or screaming people or having meltdowns or right. Whatever it might be. You know, I mean, now, TMZ broke the Tiger Woods story. That, I'm curious how they got that. And I have a theory.
I remember that very well. I was at a hotel in North Carolina with my buddy Tom Squires. We were about to go get a beer, and that story started coming out, and it was right around Thanksgiving time. Mm-hmm. And I immediately remember thinking to myself, that sounds like an Ambien meltdown. Now, I didn't predict the other stuff, but the whole story started coming down. I'm like, that sounds like Ambien played a role, and it did. What is your theory?
Wait, what are you talking? You're talking about when he
Tiger Woods. Wait, when he backed out of his house, and then his now ex-wife helped him escape from the vehicle before it caught on fire, which it never did, by bashing the window in. He was tuned up on Ambien, and okay. She found the text messages that clearly yes. He was cheating, and he then, in an Ambien stupor, tried to drive away and backed into a fire hydrant, and bad things happened.
I've been caught. I have to drive away from my house.
I mean, if you've seen people under the influence of Ambien, oh, they're in a state me. That is.
Listen, we could do an entire show on a friend of mine and his experiences with Ambien.
So your theory?
I think his wife leaked.
Oh.
I think she was just like, you know what?
If I do this, no one's going to hear a thing.
Right.
Oh, my.
Who else? Who else would? Who else would fucking know?
That, you know what? The only, now that you're going there, the only other possibility would be one of the chicks he fooled around with. Because they had text messages. I mean, when the event happens, law enforcement's involved, right? He crashes a car outside of his house. It doesn't get ugly for Tiger until, at first it was, like I said, the official story coming out of the Woods household was, she broke the windows in to save me, thank goodness, and I'm thinking, bullshit. Mm-hmm. But the text message leaks very well could have been her. That's a solid theory, but the other possibility is one of the mistresses went to TMZ, and then TMZ did what they do and got the word out. And let's face it, if you're trying to catch a guy like, you know, Tiger Woods, a professional athlete who spends the vast majority of his time at the time in Orlando, where it's not hard to find where the trouble comes from. There's script clubs and
that would totally make sense, but based off the women he was with, it doesn't. Come on, he got Monica from the Waffle House. Like,
Perkins.
What are
Perkins,
we doing?
Classier than Waffle House.
There was one at was Waffle it, House. Was it really? There was a Waffle House one.
And, you know, I've always said this, and this
but
is
no,
not...
Maybe he took one to Waffle House and made her pay, or wouldn't, or
no,
whatever
I don't
it was.
Think that can't be true, can it?
There was a lot of shady shit. We're like, Tiger, what are you doing?
You know, all right,
damn it, Eldrick.
I like Tiger Woods.
I do too.
I was a fan in the very beginning, before he was huge, and when he got so huge and the rest of the field was clearly inferior to him, I would not cheer against him so much as I would cheer for, let's make this interesting again. Nope. Did you?
I wanted him to win everything all the time.
And how much did race have to do
all
with
it?
That? Okay.
All of it. Yep. I mean, because the sport.
I get it.
The sport was. The sport, as long as I had watched any golf, right? I watched a little bit before Tiger got, and then I watched, got into it.
Right.
And I watched a lot more when he did. But the sport, even now, right? I think there's, I think I've seen one black golfer on tour, not, that's not Tiger. One?
I mean, Vijay Singh is Indian. Asian. He's just really dark.
Right.
I don't know. Oh, I get it.
There's, I mean, but, someone, but there's another guy. I think his name is like Harold or something like that. But there's an actual black male.
Okay.
Like, right. Vijay Singh is not black.
Right.
Right. Like he's not.
He's not American.
He's not black. He's not American. He's got no African descent whatsoever. Right. And then there's Tiger, who you know is you know has he describes himself as Caucasian or whatever that right. was. And then there's like one other guy. A black guy who's not bad, but and then there's a couple like Samoan guys from like Hawaii, but it the sport is completely really dominated by like in terms of the number of people who play by white
yes.
people.
Yes, it is.
And you know, watching it, it's just like, well, shit, I'm gonna cheer for the guy who doesn't look like everybody else. I want, and he is really fucking good, right? If I mean, if you're gonna do it, then fucking do it. And so, like, I cheered for Tiger nonstop. I still root for Tiger, you know. Now yeah. it's just like, you know, you root for the comeback story and everything else. And, you know, I will always argue that these a lot of these athletes, like, and listen, unless you're Phillip Rivers, right, and it's right. your junior high school sweetheart, and you right. guys are going to have 9 kids. Phillip Rivers' wife just had their 9th kid.
Is it 9?
Like, Phil.
Okay.
What are you doing? But...
He can afford it.
Yeah, I know, but that's so many kids.
That's anyway, a lot of kids, yeah.
I have one, right? And that's yeah. like a quarter too many.
And one more than me.
Right. So I just, I would always tell athletes, like, listen, wait till you get married. Right? Like, I mean, if there's any chance that you're going to become a professional athlete, you need to wait three, like, become a professional athlete, wait 3 years, then get married, maybe 5 years. You know, wait, just wait. Maybe wait till you're fucking done, right? Just save yourself, right? Wait till you're done and be careful who you fuck with while in the meantime, right? Because it just, like, there's so much temptation out there. And, it, like, if you're not married, it doesn't matter. But you also have to, like, I would argue, fuck it, I would argue, get a vasectomy.
Yeah.
If you go to the league, get a vasectomy right now, right? And then always wear a condom.
I'm always
solves all your problems.
I'm always wear a condom guy anyway. You know... So, first of all, this goes back to Thanksgiving.
Happy, you know, Merry Christmas.
Yeah, right.
By the way.
It's the holiday season. Wear that condom. Get the vasectomy. Don't fuck chicks from the Waffle House. It's the holidays.
Or do. Or, but if you do, do it this way.
Right, okay. This got weird as fast as usual. The thing about Tiger, though, is, and I don't mean this as a defense, but if you were Tiger Woods in those days, and probably even today... If you said no thanks to 99% of the women that wanted to fuck you, you were fucking 3 women a day. I mean, if you've ever been around a big-time golf event, I used to go to the Memorial in Dublin, Ohio,
mm-hmm.
pretty regularly.
I've been to the Memorial once.
When you see those parties that go on there, and the way...
Right.
I mean, first of all, what a fucking lifestyle being a professional golfer is.
So do you know that... the 3 biggest events... for sex trafficking in the United States, or no. I'm sorry, we'll go to the top 5.
Okay. All right. How do you know this?
Well, because I was working with a sex trafficking task force.
Okay.
The whole point was to Chicago? To help try to like locate missing children, girls, things okay. like that, who possibly got kidnapped. So there's that. So
okay.
More fun. But the top 5 events for sex trafficking in the United States. And I can't remember the exact order.
All right.
NBA All-Star Game, whatever okay. city it's in.
Okay.
The Super Bowl, whatever city
okay.
it's in. The Arnold Sports Festival in Columbus.
Really?
Oh, yes.
So that's a weightlifting, bodybuilding event that lasts about a week.
It's like 4 days. Yeah, 3
okay.
to 4 days.
Okay.
But yeah, the Arnold Sports Festival.
This is nationally?
Nationally.
Okay.
The Memorial in Dublin.
Okay.
Think about what you just said, though.
I mean, those parties are crazy, but there's parties at golf
events everywhere.
But for whatever reason.
Okay.
Well, part of it is location, right? You have to understand, like, Ohio is a really bad state for sex trafficking. And the reason why is because of our proximity to everything.
Major highways,
water, East water Coast, access, Midwest, Canada, Chicago. Yeah, all that sort of stuff, right? Like, I mean, this is a really bad state for sex trafficking. Like, Toledo is, like, the worst.
You know, I've heard that somewhere else. It is, like, the worst city in the country for that.
Right. It's just, it's terrible. I mean, and so it really is. And I forget what the fifth event is for sex trafficking. But
Columbus has two of the five. Columbus
has two of the top five. Like, it's ridiculous. So there's that. So I hope you feel terrible about that.
We've now made the holiday season just that much darker, and well done by us.
Maybe it's cold outside.
I don't know if this makes us funny or just awful human beings. No,
it makes us terrible. It's not funny, it makes us terrible.
I was going to talk about the fact that Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson did did something over the Thanksgiving weekend that I thought was absolutely fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
They had a pay-per-view, head-to-head, fully mic'd up.
One-on-one golf.
I like Phil Mickelson. I like Tiger Woods. Both of them are still fantastic golfers who find their way in the mix of majors sometimes now.
Mm-hmm.
But they're way past their prime.
Yep.
And the fact that they played for a $9 million winner-take-all purse, and who knows how much they actually made. I mean, yes, the winner got the purse, but the actual event probably made them...
Sponsorships and everything else.
Sponsorships, pay-per-views. I mean, I don't know anyone who actually pay-per-viewed it, but I guarantee you, you know, my uncle out in San Diego who golfs every day probably did.
As popular as golf is, I mean...
It is the only golf thing going on. There's so much football, a little bit of basketball. If you're a golf fanatic, that is the only thing you're going to get to watch between now and, February?
What adds to it is that it ends up going into, like, overtime.
20-second hole, yeah.
You know, I mean, and that, like, it just, and who knows? Is that by design? I mean, those guys are so good.
Yeah.
Right? Golf is a frustrating sport for me. My size does not
physique-wise, lend... Physique-wise, you are not...
Does not lend me to be the best golfer in the world. Or in the state, or in the city, or probably...
In this room.
In this room, right? Although...
We can do this.
Although...
Oh, we can do this.
Well, let's see here. I did win at Topgolf.
I was fucking hammered at Topgolf. Okay, so when we were in Las Vegas last year... First of all, I was on your team for part of it. Because I was doing pass protection when one of the guys playing against us wanted to blitz you during golf. And I would not allow that to happen. And apparently I got a bit aggressive. So I've been told.
You did.
Okay.
Which I appreciate it. You do. Always have my back.
I did.
Even the next day,
the next day I apologized for something I don't remember doing. But that took a bit of a weird turn. But yeah, that was... By the way, there's a Topgolf just outside of Pittsburgh now.
Yep.
I drove by the other day. I'm like, that looks like Topgolf. And I looked it up and sure enough, it's Topgolf.
Yep.
I
prefer the one in Vegas.
Yeah, I do too. I'm guessing that the service... in Vegas is a little bit different than what they're sending out in Pittsburgh. I do remember flirting with the one girl. Baby, it's cold outside. All right, moving on.
Flirting.
Yeah.
Is that what we're calling it?
That's what we're calling it. No, let's call it courting because I'm a gentleman. All right.
At the end, you weren't saying words. You literally were like raising your hand.
What is he
saying?
Don't worry. Maybe it's hot outside. Was like 120 degrees that day.
Hand him a Cabal Center. He'll be fine.
Yeah. Oddly, that also happened.
You needed to eat.
I did. You're right.
You did need to
eat. I don't know why we had kielbasa served to us at Topgolf, but the guy was hosting it was Polish, so we'll go with that.
We got the... Remember we got the
platter, yeah.
Yeah, the barbecue platter. It was like ribs, kielbasa, the whole thing. It was actually really good.
All right, we're now taking folks down memory lane to something that's making no sense to them. As Steve keels over.
Sorry.
All right, one more thing we have to talk about,
mm-hmm.
and that is my favorite Christmas movie. My favorite Christmas movie by far, Die Hard. And I love when people get mad at me about that.
I want to get mad at you about it, except for it's my second favorite Christmas movie.
So what is your first?
National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
A fair choice.
Jim, you know what? I can't, if I see it, I have to watch it. Right? Like, there's probably, like, for me, it's National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. If I see it, I will stop everything I'm doing, watch it, it is what it is, done. And then anything Fast and the Furious, which, okay, make fun of me, whatever. But when it comes to movies, like, National, like, and it's some of the side comments, like, with any Chevy Chase movie, it's the side comments that you know are ad-libbed. And then just all the little interactions with family, and if you've ever dealt with a big family or if you have a big family, you know how dead on these things are. You know, where when his father goes to, I think, the sister, and he's just like, you know, they drained a pint of fluid out of my back. You know, and she's like, oh, okay, great. You know, and then she's, you know, arguing with mom, like, I don't want him to stay in my room. Don't let him stay in my room.
Juliette Lewis.
Yeah, and then, and I give you a nickel if you rub my heels, right? Like, I love, and then obviously Randy Quaid's character.
That movie has a lot of significance in my family because many years ago it was out on HBO. my parents were divorced by this point, I think, but my dad was, you know, still friendly with the family, whatever, and we're all hanging out at my grandmother's house, and we're all doing stuff. And my dad, who was not known for being a goofy guy, I mean, he had a sense of humor, but he was not jovial by any means, starts laughing at Christmas Vacation so hard that, like, all the events going on in the kitchen cooking just stopped, and we flocked into the living room, like, what's wrong with you? Right. And I don't remember what scene it was, but I don't think I'd ever seen my dad laugh that hard. And he was completely unable to articulate what he had just seen. He was just in hysterics. And like, okay, and you're sober, Dad, and this is not normally you. I don't know what is, but it was.
Oh, my God. I love the movie. It's just my number one going away. The scene where he shoots down the hill. on the sled with
the new super lubricant
for cereal or whatever it was for. I mean, Dad, is it meant for sledding? Later, dudes.
That is a hilarious scene. Chevy Chase is a funny actor in the sense that he's got a reputation for being very hard to work with.
Listen, the things I read about him, like, he is, it blew my mind how big of a dick he was or is, I guess. Right, I mean, and I don't know. I've never worked with him. I never met him, so I have no idea. But I mean, like, the stuff you read is that he was just
brutal,
awful person.
And see, what I read was just he was just a very miserable person. Like, he just was awful to be around. Like, he wasn't vindictive or mean, or maybe he was.
Okay, I don't know. I just said he was awful. What the fuck is the difference?
Oh, I'm not trying. I didn't mean to say like he's torturing puppies or drugging women. He just was apparently just a miserable person to be around.
Yeah.
Which is shocking because his movies are typically hilarious and he's very jovial in them. So anyway, Die Hard is a Christmas movie. We're not even going to fight about that. If you don't like us,
I wish we could, but I just, I love it.
I love it too. when my last serious girlfriend, she and I had a Christmas movie, like she loves the movie Love Actually. So I had to watch Love Actually every fucking year.
Kill me.
It was, you know, truthfully.
Just kill me.
It's got some cute moments. Doesn't. It does.
Fuck it. Okay. I hate it.
Oh, I don't like it.
I've seen it.
It does have Alan Rickman.
Okay.
That's all I'm giving it. Oh, there's some funny stuff. The British guy who has women throwing themselves at him as soon as he arrives in America is funny because that's actually true. I used to hang out with a British guy and literally he would say three words and chicks would be diving at his crotch. So maybe that just hits me on a personal level. The look I'm getting right now is awesome. But anyway, I had to watch Love Actually every damn year. And it was something that, like...
That's not right.
I know... I'll get through it. I know good things will happen afterwards. It was not my thing. Anyway, one year she told me to pick the Christmas movie, and I picked Die Hard. And she was pissed. And I'm like, it's a Christmas movie!
My dick wouldn't work after Love Actually.
Mine did.
the jazz.
Well, it doesn't get much more holiday than that. Should we wrap this up?
Yes.
All right. Anyway, we hope you enjoyed this. We know it got weird. It usually does. And that's what makes us have fun doing it.
Hans Booby.
Hans Booby. I'm your white knight. All right, man. Well, anyway, enjoy this. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Happy Hanukkah. Happy Kwanzaa. Happy Festivus. Whatever it is you celebrate.
Bill Squire's doing a special called Merry Christmas Kwanzaa.
There you go.
This year at the Agora in downtown Cleveland. So if you hear this in the right time, I guess on December 23rd, check that out. If not, Merry Christmas again, and we are out of here.